So you get this space to go take the biggest swing you can. This thing is evolving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
What's your first step? Who do you call?
So I started calling several of the people who I talked to for the first piece, the people who I thought would have the clearest eyed and the most thoughtful view of what was to lie ahead. And I think I also, it was clear to me that one of the gaps in the first piece I did, which interviewed people who work in hospitals and who work on vaccines and epidemiology and global health and all of that, was a lack of contribution from social scientists, from historians, from anthropologists. And it was really clear that those people would be crucial for defining the fourth act of the piece, which was the aftermath. I think quite early on, it became clear to me what the structure of the piece should be, which was this four-part look at the past, present, and future of the pandemic. And one of the themes in the piece was that this failure of imagination has cost us, this inability to conceive of a situation where testing might fail, this inability to look at what was going on in China and think we might be next, this inability to look past that rhetoric of exceptionalism and to imagine a case when the so-called greatest country in the world would prove to be one of the greatest cautionary tales in the world. I think to avoid making that mistake, we need to be able to imagine what the world might look like afterwards. And to start laying the, if not political seeds, then at least mental seeds for that right now.